Okay, next I would like to welcome myself. I've been waiting all week to say that. I'm Kathleen Carlson. I'm an injury epidemiologist by training. I'm working in the VA primarily with veterans who have incurred traumatic brain injury, and I'm funded to look primarily at the outcomes, rehabilitation, and reintegration of veterans with TBI and also polytrauma. But on the side, with prevention in mind, I'm also doing some projects, one of which I'm presenting here today, looking at incident injury burden in the veteran population. Also, I just recently transferred from the Minneapolis VA and University of Minnesota to the VA in Portland, Oregon, and Oregon Health Sciences University. So the title of my presentation is Reinjury Among Veterans with Traumatic Brain Injury, Discharged from VA Polytrauma Rehabilitation Centers. I have no personal relationships or conflicts of interest to disclose. All right, so we know that trauma survivors have increased mortality rates, and these are age-adjusted mortality rates compared to the general population, for at least 20 years after discharge from inpatient treatment for that initial trauma. And we also know that most of these excess deaths are due to unintentional and intentional injuries. We know little at this point about rates of non-fatal re-injury in this population, but knowing that fatal injuries are usually just the tip of the iceberg, we expect that these non-fatal injury rates would also be elevated in this population. So to serve the needs of veterans who are coming back from the wars in and around Afghanistan and Iraq, the VA has established four regional inpatient polytrauma rehabilitation centers, or what we call PRCs. We know that the majority of patients that come through these PRCs have incurred traumatic brain injuries, but generally this is in combination with other physical and psychiatric insults. So we have spinal cord injuries, amputations, injuries due to blasts, bombs, IEDs, other explosions like ocular injuries or hearing loss. And these inpatient programs are specialized to get these veterans rehabilitated and back on their feet and back living in the community. And in a lot of cases, actually back to active duty service. This is just a picture of the four sites. They're relatively evenly distributed around the country. We have one in Richmond, Virginia, Palo Alto, California, Tampa, Florida, and then my old site at Minneapolis, Minnesota. So the objectives of the study I'm presenting today was to just look and estimate the prevalence of non-fatal re-injury in this population of veterans who have been treated in these PRCs, and then to possibly hone in on risk factors for re-injury that may be addressable in either pre- or post-discharge prevention programs should this be a problem. So this is a secondary analysis of data from the Family and Caregiver Experiences Survey. We call this FACES. This is a VA survey that was interested in the needs of family caregivers of the veterans that are coming through the PRCs. The FACES survey was cross-sectional, it was mixed methods, and it was conducted last year to assess needs and outcomes, as I mentioned. And this was looking at all PRC patients that were treated between 2001, which was the beginning of the war in Afghanistan, and February of last year. Just a quick explanation of why the focus on family caregivers. The VA has really evolved to emphasize what we're calling a family-centered care model, knowing that the family is involved in the quality and the safety of the veteran's care from the get-go, from treatment in a military treatment facility to their transition to a VA inpatient rehabilitation program, and then oftentimes to transition in their own home or a home in the community. They're highly engaged and also vocal, involved soon after injury. And oftentimes, I have a picture of a young couple here, and it is a relatively young population, but we have a pretty even split between spouses and parents of the veterans. Okay, so for this survey, we identified the next of kin in the medical record for just over 1,000 patients who met our inclusion criteria. And that was that they had to have served in operations enduring freedom or Iraqi freedom, They had to have had polytrauma that included traumatic brain injury. They had to have been discharged at least 3 months prior to the study, and then they had to be alive at the time of the study. So that criteria right there excluded follow-up of fatal re-injury in this group. We were really interested, the purpose of the survey was to really get at the needs of the caregivers. So they had a lengthy survey to fill out, but it asked about both their health and their needs, the financial impacts of caregiving, and then it also had some questions about the patient. And this is, it's a tricky methodology to follow in terms of IRB, because you have a proxy respondent, you're asking someone else about the patient that you're actually interested in. So in terms of injury, the caregivers were asked to report if the patient had sought medical attention for one or more quote-unquote accidents or new injuries since discharge from the PRC. And then for affirmative responses, they were asked to report whether they were asked to report the sources of the injury, and then whether or not the treatment for that injury was received at a VA medical center. The idea being that if this is a problem and it is being treated through follow-up care at the VA, then we can build this case for the VA to invest resources in prevention efforts. So we're still actually in the primary analyses for the FACES survey overall. But I wanted to do this for late breakers, do some quick analyses on this re-injury question just to get this rolling. So most of what I'm presenting today are the descriptive analyses on the caregiver and the patient outcomes, but that includes the prevalence sources and the treatment of re-injury. I did some preliminary multivariate modeling to estimate patients' odds of re-injury in reference to some of our hypothesized risk factors. And the covariates for the multivariate models were selected based on a causal model, so it's different for each model we were looking at, but included things like demographics, source and severity of the initial injury, some functional outcomes, and health status for both the caregiver and the patient. Okay, so I mentioned that we contacted just over 1,000 caregivers of patients who were discharged from the PRCs. We had just over half respond to our survey, and I've learned in caregiver research that that's actually quite a decent response rate. It's a hard group to get a hold of and a hard group to get to sit down and fill out a 35-page survey, given time constraints and also a lot of emotional outcomes. We know that the population that we were of patients that we were talking about were mostly male, mostly less than 30 years of age or between 31 and 45, and then primarily Caucasian. This chart I really like to show and distribute and get out as much as possible, because when we hear about polytraumatic injuries and traumatic brain injury in the VA, it's usually in the context of combat-related injuries, either IEDs, blasts, explosions. But I like to point out that nearly half of the patients that are being treated in the PRCs were injured stateside. And this is either pre-deployment or post-deployment. And you may have heard stories where a military member makes it home safe and sound, only to go out and get in a motorcycle crash with no helmet on, you know, the day that they're discharged. So I like to point that out. And then I also like to point out that bullets, bombs, and blasts are a primary source of injury in these patients, but motor vehicle crashes are also an equally important source. And that's, you know, incurred overseas as well as stateside. This is one of our measures of injury severity that I'm sharing today. And this is one measure that's used to assess the severity of traumatic brain injury. And so this is caregiver report of the veteran's length of time of loss of consciousness or coma at the time of the injury. And you can see that a big proportion of these patients were in a coma for 7 days or more. And that's what we would consider to be severe traumatic brain injury. And then we have another 20% here that are in this somewhere between 30 minutes and 7 days range, which is kind of an odd interval, but is sometimes used as criteria to denote moderate TBI. And then we have this group up here where the caregiver reported either no coma or less than 30 minutes. And we would imagine or assume that the majority of those were in the mild TBI category. And there's also a big chunk of caregivers here that just were unsure. Maybe they weren't involved in the veteran's care, or maybe so much has gone on since the time that the veteran was injured. So we are trying to corroborate this with information in the veteran's medical record, but surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, this often isn't translated from the treatment facility where the veteran received the acute care to the VA where they're receiving rehabilitative care. Just one of the questions about caregiver burden, and that was how many hours per week are they spending helping the veteran? And this is with activities of daily living, instrumental activities of daily living, or any other task, which oftentimes is navigating the medical system, conducting finances, or helping with housing, those kinds of tasks. So a large proportion of caregivers are spending less than 5 hours per week helping the veteran. So this looks pretty good, like a large percentage of veterans are having few functional limitations, are probably getting along pretty well, and their caregivers are spending little time assisting them at this point. But we also have this proportion over here that spends about a part-time to a full-time job caring for these patients. And then another proportion, another large proportion that is either full-time job or overtime caring for the patients. Okay, so what about re-injury? Caregivers reported medically treated re-injury for about 30% of the veterans. The most frequent sources of re-injuries that they reported were falls and motor vehicles, but assaults, burns, and poisonings and firearm-related injuries were also important. And a number of them reported checked off multiple injury sources, but the way that the questions were laid out, we don't know whether that's multiple re-injuries or one re-injury event with multiple causes of injury. Approximately one-third of those who had incurred a re-injury had been treated at the VA, and this is also something that we'll be corroborating with the medical records for the entire population of respondents and non-respondents. And this VA treatment was most frequently sought for the fall and the burn-related injuries. So we had some interesting results in these preliminary multivariable models. One that our very small population of females had substantially greater odds of injury than the males in our population. So you could see the small n reflected here in the broad confidence interval, but this is something that we're, it's really piqued our interest and that we'd like to delve into more. We often see differences in VA research between National Guard and reservists versus active duty veterans or veterans that were active duty at the time of injury. And that was true in this study as well. So we know that there are some differences between these groups, like age frequently or rural versus urban residents, and probably other characteristics that just aren't captured in the covariates that were included in the models. Our crude measure of TBI severity also appeared to be important. So those with severe traumatic brain injury had greater odds of re-injury than those those with mild TBI. And then another really interesting finding is that caregivers who reported self-reported low overall health status were more likely to report a re-injury for their care recipient than caregivers who had high self-reported health status. So this is interesting because it's another potential point to make a case to the VA that helping these caregivers, providing resources, and supporting them probably financially and health-wise could have downstream beneficial effects for our patient population. And I forgot to mention earlier that as part of the VA's interest in caregivers, they're in part now considered to be patients of the VA as well. So the veterans receive lifelong care coordination and social services from the VA, and their caregivers are incorporated into that. And the caregivers and their families are also eligible to receive mental health and psychological services from the VA. Okay, so To our knowledge, this is the first study to look at re-injury and to identify it as a substantial problem among discharged PRC patients. Nearly 30% of patients were reported to have sought medical treatment for re-injuries, which was even higher than what we expected. And the majority of these re-injuries were associated with falls in motor vehicles. We also see that certain patient and caregiver characteristics seem to be associated with the patient's risk. So these are things that we'd like to hone in on more. A lot more research is needed, both with this study. These were preliminary results, and it's a limited study to look at this given the cross-sectional nature, a long window of recall in some cases, and proxy response as well. But the purpose of including this question and getting the ball rolling was to come up with a case to further this research, hopefully with more robust methods. So, we are expecting that we'll be able to show that there's a large need for injury prevention services among discharged polytrauma patients. And these are things that we could potentially incorporate pre or post-discharge in this lifelong care. So maybe family and patient-centered education, restricted driver's licenses, or some form of graduated driver's licenses for patients with traumatic brain injury. Home environment assessments, pre-discharge, things like this that the VA could incorporate into its otherwise comprehensive care. And then perhaps we'll be able to target some of these preventive services based on characteristics of both the patients and their family caregivers. But more work is needed. Okay, and finally, this is our large study team across many VA medical centers, and I'd like to acknowledge our funding agency, the VA Health Services Research and Development Service. Thank you.